There's a striking shita of Rabbeinu Tam and Gittin on Vav Amebeis that I think is a petach for a very important mussar tonight. The Siyata Dishmaya is the last time I had the schus to learn with the Beis Medrash before Purim. And I think I'm going to talk about a topic that is much less lofty than most people speak about before Purim. It's very, very basic. But the things that are most basic are the points that are the most important. Rabbeinu Tam has a fascinating shita in regards to a technical halacha. Bear with me for a couple minutes, and we'll reveal, I think, something very, very beautiful. Rabbeinu Tam says that the Gemara that tells us that there's a requirement to have sirtut, that means lines, underneath Kisvei Kodesh, applies to mezuzah and megillah. Everything else just needs lines on the perimeter, but mezuzah and megillah. Now the Gemara Megillah on Tezayin Amabez says that megillah is kamita shel Torah. It requires sirtut, lines, like the emes of Torah. And Tosis says, v'kari le'amita shel Torah, mezuzah is called also amita shel Torah, al shem sheyesh bo yichud malchus shamayim. Because we focus on the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is the commonality between mezuzah and megillah? I think to understand this idea, I want to share with you something I heard in the name of Rav Huttner. I searched around the Pachad Yitzchak, I didn't see it there. Rav Huttner had a beautiful, such a simple but profound observation. The word anoichi is used to introduce Kabbalah HaTorah, the ultimate expression of Kabbalah HaTorah. The Chazal Darshan, ano nafshi kasvi yavis, I am going to give you my essence. Nefesh HaChaim speaks about this in detail, how Torah is the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And also Purim has a deep reference to the word anoichi. Anoichi, Chazal say, what's the source of Esther? Anoichi hastir astir espanai. And Rav Huttner points out that these two descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence are also, of course, famously found in the Gemara in Shabbos, where the Gemara in Shabbos says that there were two times that we accepted Torah. One was at Har Sinai, but there, of course, there was Kafaleim Har Kegigis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu held Har Sinai over us. And then the Gemara tells us, Hadr kibluah b'me'ach ha-shver, so we accepted it again, b'ratzon, during the days of Achashverosh. The difference, of course, is that Purim was a bechira, was a choice. Kabbalah HaTorah was a force. Rav Bednar said once, nice, beautifully, he said, it doesn't have to be that simply literally, kafaleim har kegigis, but we didn't have a choice. We were stuck in the midbar. There was nothing there except HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Purim, we could add, was of course, the exact opposite. He said this too, that Purim was the exact opposite. Then when it came to Purim there, we could have interpreted it as being entirely man-made. And Hashem's name is not in the Megillah. And of course, those are the two references. Either the Gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously revealing himself to the entire world, or the opposite. The opposite being HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Hester, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where he can't necessarily be seen by everybody, but if a person looks carefully, he sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What lasts? Not a Jew that's forced. A Jew that's forced, a Talmud that feels that the Rebbe is manipulating him into a position, a child that feels that the parents are forcing them into a certain direction in life, that doesn't stand. What stands is Hadr Kibluah B'me'ach HaShverosh, Rav Huttner says. What stands and what lasts are those things that we ourselves search for God, independently. And that is a relationship with Kudsha Baruch Hu that lasts. And that ultimately becomes the bris, the covenant between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is one that is untainted. Torah Shebichsav is tainted, has been tainted by others, But the bris that's lasting is the bris of Torah Shebaal Peh. And the message for tonight is that the time of Purim is a time that is dedicated. It is a rarefied opportunity for a person to search and reveal truth. It's a zman of emes. Don't be fooled by all the drinking and everything else that's going on and all the other exciting things and the humor and all of that. All of that has one goal and one goal only. And we're not going to talk about the complicated parts of the goals. We're going to talk about, Bli Nedar, for the next 10 minutes, the simple parts that are often very much forgotten. Because our tafkid in life, our goal, our responsibility is to be anshei emes who are looking for truth, and that is what Kabbalah Satayra is all about. That is what Kabbalah Satayra of Purim is all about. And that is one that lasts. And that is one that we have to come to through Bechira by being honest and looking inside of ourselves. And that's the pshat of the commonality between the mezuzah and the Megillah. Mezuzah and Megillah are the two extremes. Mezuzah is the obvious statement of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, the gilui of Kudsh Abrichu, that obvious gilui of Kudsh Abrichu. Esther is the opposite. Esther is the entire hidden. The two are exactly the same. What Purim brings out is that yichud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the mezuzah is the yichud of Purim. But now is the time for us to go back and look at those parts of emes and talk about some basic things. Because I think sometimes that pursuit of emes, which is really the essence, the oimek ha-oimek of what Purim is about, is often lost and often forgotten. Rav Schechter told me a story years ago. He didn't mean to say it as a praise. It was Mesiach Lefi Tumo. And I never said the story here because I forgot the details. And Rameir Goldman told me that he saw the story publicized. And I said, oh, Rav Schechter told it to me. I was in the Tivariyeh, and Rav Schechter was there, and I asked him if he wanted a tea. And Rav Schechter said, yes, thank you. And I asked him if there's anything else that he wants in his tea. Would he like some sugar? He said, no, I don't have any sugar in my tea. Afterwards, he said to me, you know why I don't have sugar in my tea? He said, because 50 years ago, I was in Eretz Yisrael, and I was by someone's house. And the person that I was eating by, I had questions about the kashrus of the sugar. There are many gedolim stories about the kashrus of the sugar. We'll leave the others for now. And the person said, the person asked, do I have sugar? They were serving me tea. I said, I didn't want to insult them. I said, I drink my tea without sugar. So from then on, for 50 straight years, Schechter drinks his tea without sugar. That's what Gedolei Torah are. Gedolei Torah are anshei emes, and then when they set their mind to something, that's what they become. Rabosai, these are not dvarim pshutim. The Gemara in Bava Basra on Kuf Samechei Amid Aleph says something that is very, very striking. The Gemara says on Klal Yisrael, on Jews, not on Gentiles, Rubam Begezel. The majority of us are Nichshal in the Avera Chamura of Gezel. Umiut Barayas. And there's a minority that sins in the sexual domain. The Gemara tells us that the majority of people are Nichshal and Gezel, are not Anshei Emes. Rashbam explains, they're not really, really bad people. He says, but at the end of the day, Moira Lahatera B'masa Umatan. They justify and they say, it's okay. How many people do we say these stories about, and how many people do we know of people who've been publicized to have stolen from others? Just last night, I was at Meiri Rabbi Rav Nevensal's house. And I've repeatedly violated the following offense. And Rav Nevensal called me out on it. He hardly never is never miyaches to the people as he's walking to and from his dining room after saying a shiur and going to his study. He was leaving, he was answering, he had a question and answer session, and he was walking out, and then he turns to me, and he like wants to tell me something. What does Rav Nevinsel want to tell me? He wants to tell me that I left my pen at his house last time. I left my pen. Now, this was a repeat offense, because it's not once that I've left my pen at his house. It happened also a couple months ago. And the next morning, I get a call from the Rebbetzin, and the Rebbetzin says, the Rav wants to speak to you. And he gets on the phone. This is the only time Rav Nevinsel has ever sent a message to me that he wants to speak to me. He gets on the phone, and he says, Hisharta microglip. I couldn't understand what he was saying. He's trying to describe the bick, what they have on the bick thing. He was describing, and I said, Rebbe, I don't understand what you're referring to. And he said, and after three times, it's probably some type of halach and hilchos simanim, because he was trying to give the exact description of the pencil. He said, hisharta etpo. Okay. The next time, when I came in, this was 2 months ago, when I came in, that was the first thing he said to me. The pen is over here. I told him, amocha. He said, the pen is over here. So last night, I was feeling uncomfortable because I'm just being matriachim by leaving my pens all over the place. And I said to him, Rebbe, ani mashir etze kemashkan. I'm leaving here as a mashkan. This way I could always come back. That's what he understood when he said, lo. He didn't appreciate that. You know, the whole idea that somebody else's money, a pencil of his, was sitting on his desk, Zehitridoto. It really, really, really bothered him. It bothered him. Why is it that doesn't bother most of us, who Baruch Hashem are the miut that are not in Gezel? Even though Rove of Klal Yisrael is beGezel, we'll be down ourselves all the kavschus that we're in the miut. But why is it that's hard? So I heard from Rav Ozner a very, very simple point that gets back to this Midah of Emes and the Shorish of the Midah of Emes. Rav Ozner pointed out that the Gemara tells us the first question that every Jew is going to be asked is not going to be what Svarim he learned. It's not going to be the Svarim he wrote. It's not going to be who he taught or who his Rebbe was. The first question that he's going to be asked is Nasasa v'Nasasa be'emuna. Were you honest in your business dealings? Were you an Ish Emes? And that's why it's such a Chil Hashem when there are people who are supposedly religious Jews who are not Anshei Emes. The Chil Hashem is so awful. Rav Ozner pointed out that the question is not Nasasa v'Nasasa Beheter, but Be'emuna. At the Shrodesh, at the root of being nichshal in Rubam Begezel is not a shorish simply in Ben Adam Lechavero. The root is a lack of emuna. And that lack of emuna comes from a place where a Jew is not satisfied in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him. If we were truly satisfied in everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, then we would lead lives that are more truthful and that are more emistic. But the Yetzirah, as Rashbam in Bava Basra Samachem and Al said, the Yetzirah is more heter. The Yetzirah says, this is okay. My father Shlita ingrained this inside of me when I was about 16 or 17 years old. My father worked as a statistician. He had a PhD in economics, and his bank closed that he was working for. And someone suggested that my father, because he was quite astute in the world of banking, someone suggested to him that he would actually be very, very good in the markets. And my father switched for a short time into the stock market. On Friday night, my father never, ever spoke about work on Shabbos, ever. I knew that my father had switched jobs. Friday night, in the middle of the meal, my father said, I'm not working in the stock market anymore. Now, there are many, many, many honest B'nai Torah who work in the stock market, but I want to bring out l'chadeh, to sharpen something over here. I want to, you, as you're thinking about your next stage of life, I'm not going to talk about where you're going to go to school next year. Everybody else is talking about that. That's not what I want to talk about. But I want you to think about this when you think about your next stage of life. My father said that when he went into that office that he went into, he said he heard people talking about making money at the expense of others. He heard one stockbroker say to another, "I just sold the other guy trash." To my father, the whole idea that you could approach somebody and present something that was bad and present it as something that is good was so, so antithetical of everything that a Jew is supposed to be. Why would a person have a Yetzirah to do that? At the end of the day, an Ish Emes, an Ish Emuna, believes that whatever he needs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give him. And he can make the sale in an honest way, and he can make the sale in a dishonest way. And he'll either make the money, or he won't. But that's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He needs absolutely no dishonesty, any form of dishonesty to reach that place. And Rabosa, when you choose a career, think long and hard about this. For sure, think about Night Seder, but think long and hard about this as well. And at the end of the day, it's probably the first question you have to think about. Nasata v'nasasa be'emuna before Night Seder. And I hope you know how much I love sitting and learning in the Beis Medrash. But at the end of the day, we, as B'nai Torah, represent being Anshei Emes. So that's number one of the Bechina of Ador, of beginning to think more and more about being Emes, being Anshei Emes. Number two, my father continued, and he said to me, not only is there a tremendous Yetzirah to speak dishonestly about the product that you're selling, but there's also another part, and that is to speak to others in a disingenuous way about doing chanifa, flattering them. Saying things to ingratiate yourself to them because of something else that you want. Bereishis Rabba describes, kol mokoim sheyesh chanifa b'toira. Anytime where a person is not straight, he's not talking to a person straight, he's not speaking honestly, he's delivering flattery because he wants to get something else. Not because he sincerely wants to compliment the person. Kol makom sheyesh bo chanifa, yesh bo minus. Any place where there's flattery, there's apikorsis. At the end of the day, why is an individual involved in flattery? Because they're trying to get something. If they want to get it, if they're supposed to get it, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give it to them. And if they're not supposed to get it, then they're not going to get it. Kol makom sheyesh bo chanifa, yesh bo minus. Rav Hundner says, this is the time that we're supposed to work on that. This is the time where a person is supposed to internalize that the Zman of Emes is a Zman of Emuna. And the last Midah. We've spoken about in the past that Kas, anger, comes from a place where a person feels that they wanted something and they didn't get it. And of the craziest things, road rage is about, I wanted to get ahead of you in the lane, and you cut me off, and then I lose control. Now, most people here are not angels. I definitely am not. I look at you, I can remember from when I was 16 years old, when I was driving in the lane. Yeah, once upon a time, I used to play basketball. And there was someone in my class. I had beat him to the basket already. He was bigger and stronger than me. And he fouled me bad. And I remember the kas that came up inside of me. The kas comes from a place that I wanted to get there. I think you did something wrong. and you cut me off, and it didn't end up the way I wanted it to end up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want me to get to the basket. It's not that he didn't want me to get to the basket. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want me to get to the basket. The moment in which a person begins to internalize that every single thing that happens is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the moment in which a person is nasata v'nasasa be'emuna, they live in a place that is so much happier and is so much calmer. You know, the Maharal writes that the definition of simcha, he writes this on the pasuk kol sasam v'kol simcha. The Maharal writes, what is the definition of kol simcha? He says, simcha is not what most people think. To rephrase the Maharal's words, simcha is not people dancing on top of a van by the Yitziyah Le'ir to Nanach. That's not the definition of simcha. Rabbi Nachman Zechusei Yagalenu, every single one of his messages are holy. But that expression, what some of the street tries to sell you as simcha, is not simcha. Says the Maharal, simcha is used in the context of marriage because marriage represents shlemus, completion. A man is incomplete without a wife, and a wife is incomplete without a man. Simcha is not the way the world generally translates as joy. Simcha is completion. Azoy zakta maral. When a person is shalem, when he goes through life and recognizes that every single step is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then, let's just review, then the person will be honest in his business dealings. The way he speaks to others are going to be honest. And then ultimately, the individual himself is going to be a happier person. That's Simchas Purim. Simchas Purim is being able to notice that when someone is fouling you, it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Simchas Purim. It's not the Hum and Tashin, and it's not even the High Torahs. That's Simchas Purim. It's noticing in the Megillah, it's noticing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and being able to rise above, and being a Mordechai, of being an Ish Emes, lo yichre v'lo yishtachave, to a world of sheker. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya. It's such an easy avoda, but such a hard avoda. Maybe the word is simple. It's such a simple avoda, but such a heavy avoda. It's scary. Rashbam describes Rove of Klal Yisrael's Begezel. Maybe Rashbam means that most people are not as careful as Rav Nevin Sal. Maybe that's what Rashbam means. But maybe it means something more. Maybe it means that we don't internalize that everything is from Kudsha Brichu. That we don't find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every single one of our life's experience, and then ultimately we're more ahead there for other things. Now is the time to take a step closer. And there's no question in my mind that it's a mindset. It's not about becoming Rav Shechter or Rav Nevin Sal overnight. It's about saying to ourselves that this is a deep priority of mine, and I know that there are tzaddikim that live this way. The moment in which it becomes a priority of ourselves, the moment in which I know that there are tzaddikim that live that way, then Be'ezer Hashem, we could be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. A truly Freilichen Purim.